Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. It's Thursday night. It's 11:20 p.m. Israel time, and I have a big headache, and I had a very, very frustrating day, as I just mentioned. My frustration basically became about because I am sitting in front of a laptop talking to a computer. I see beautiful faces in front of me, and then they black out, and my voice disappears, and they get frustrated, and I in turn get frustrated. And it's tough to be soimech on computers and soimech on technology. It is much more pristine to be talking to people face to face and to be learning like we're supposed to be learning. I guess again, so for me today was a very frustrating day because things did not actually work out as I would have liked in certain of my shiurim. And that gave me a big headache. Anyway, but looks like things are working okay now, so that's a bit of a chizuk to me. And I wanted to address with you two topics. They're related. One topic goes to what I will call a general topic, and that is, in general, when you have kayed zman in yeshiva, this time of year, when you're in a normal yeshiva, not a web yeshiva, not a Zoom yeshiva, but a normal yeshiva, as you get to this time of year, right before Lag BaOmer, 2.5, 3 weeks before Shavuos, 5 weeks before the end of the year, so there's like this potential, like burnout, that kind of potentially kicks in. And when you have that potential burnout, so how do you combat it? How do you deal with it? The weather starts to get warm, it gets nicer, it gets sunnier, it gets more geschmack. How do you go ahead and navigate that potential burnout that might exist? And I think now it's even more exacerbated, the potential for burnout, the potential for frustration. And I have heard from some of you, or perhaps via some of the Rabbeim, the notion of what I'll call Zoom burnout. The kind of potential frustration that can exist, when you're sitting inside all day, you're a little cooped up, the weather's getting warmer, and you kind of want to be normal. You want to break out. And that, I think, creates a greater tension as we try and navigate the last 4 or 5 weeks of yeshiva in the best way possible, in the most growth-oriented way possible. So I want to address those concepts and really want to talk also, it's Erev Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is this week. And I want to talk a little in Yanei Lag BaOmer as well. Before I do that, I want to share with you one of my favorite Divrei Torah. That comes from this week's parsha. Rav Yonason Sacks shares this always, and I think it's a very, very important idea, especially for yeshiva bachrim, especially for yeshiva bachrim that are back at home. And I've even heard also sometimes parents look at their kids. They've been in yeshiva for 8, 9 months. They come back home. You're still in yeshiva, but you're also home. And parents sometimes say, "Wow, look at my son. He came back different." And sometimes you'll have your stories of a parent says, "Whoa, my son is still having a tough time waking up in the morning. And what happened to Zman Kriyat Shema? What happened to Zman Tefillah?" Those, sometimes we still struggle in those areas as well. So the beginning of our parsha shares the laws of Tumah and the laws of Kohanim, unique laws of Kohanim. And one of the laws of the Kohanim, it says over here, is that a Kohen lo yikrichu korcha birosham. The Kohen is not allowed to bald himself. He cannot pull out the hairs of his face. He can't rip out his flesh. Chazal understand that these were minhagim that people would do when their relative would die. When a relative would die, so they would express their avelus by pulling out their flesh, by pulling out their hair, by balding themselves. And that is an iser for, the Torah says, for Kohanim to do. But it's interesting that in Parshas Re'eh, you have the same exact iser that applies to Yisraelim. The same exact iser to every Jew. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, lo tisgodedu. You cannot scratch out your flesh. Lo tasimu korcha b'eineichem. You can't bald yourself. Lames. Ki am kadosh ata. So the same exact dinim, and in fact, there's some information that's missing in Parshas Re'eh that's in Parshas Emor, missing in Emor that's in Re'eh, and the Gemara Maseches Makos actually puts them together, and it's all one halacha. It is all one din. And the Mefarshim, therefore, are bothered. Like it's why do we need a special mitzvah for Kohanim? Jared Peres is here. Why do we need a special mitzvah for Kohanim? After all, you have the same exact din applies to Yisraelim. Once you have this din applying to Yisraelim, why do I need a special halacha for Kohanim? It's the same exact halacha. You're not allowed to inflict bodily injury upon yourself as a sign of avelus. It applies to Yisraelim, it applies to Kohanim, but it's mentioned specially by Kohanim. Why? Why? It's the same exact halacha. So my Rebbe suggested the following idea, which I think is an incredible idea. Is true, it's the same exact halacha. But when you're a Kohen, even for the same exact halacha, you're held to a higher standard. You're a Kohen. You do avod in the Beis HaMikdash. You bless the people every single day. You get the first aliyah. You have a higher expectation. Your bar is raised. And even though there are special halachos that apply to a Kohen, he's not allowed to be the Metameh LeMeis, a Yisrael can be, but the same halachos that apply equally to a Jew, a regular Yisrael, and a Kohen, yeah, but for a Kohen, we have to mention a special Isser. Because the bar is raised. The expectations are higher. You're a Kohen, we expect more. And it's true also for a Bachur in Yeshiva, a boy who spent 8, 9 months in the flesh in Eretz Yisrael, right outside Yerushalayim HaKodesh, then he comes home, the bar is raised. A boy who stayed Shana Bet and he spent the extra year learning, and now he comes home, the bar is raised even higher. The more we grow, the expectations are raised and we have to be better. This is such a relevant message for some of the things that perhaps we've been seeing on the news, coronavirus, and sometimes the Jewish community, which is a very, very conspicuous community. The Orthodox community is a very, very conspicuous community. The Hasidic community is a very, very conspicuous community. And once we are who we are, we're the Am HaNivcha, we're the Am Segula, we're the chosen people. So the bar is raised. And therefore, we have to be even better. The expectations are higher. And even if the world might be doing the same exact thing we are, but yes, for us, for the Am HaNivcha, the bar is raised. For Yeshiva Bachur, the bar is raised. For someone who had the experience, the Mevaseret experience, the bar is raised. And I want to talk a little bit, a couple of minutes. I want to introduce you to a personality that you're all very, very familiar with, but in my opinion, is the personality of this time of year. At least there are two personalities this time of year, I should say. One personality this time of year is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and he is the personality of Lag BaOmer. And the one we learn from so much, Lag BaOmer time, but I want to introduce you to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Rebbe, someone you're familiar with, you've learned a lot about, but I want to share with you a little bit about Rabbi Akiva and some of the lessons we can learn from Rabbi Akiva, because this is Rabbi Akiva's time of year. Sfiras HaOmer is his time of year, and I want to touch and share about 5 or 6 Ma'amari Chazal. We'll do it fast, we'll do it quick. To share the insights of who Rabbi Akiva was, why he is the father of Kol HaTorah Kula, the father of all of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and us, 2,000 years later, how much we can learn from Rabbi Akiva. So we all know Gemara number one is the Gemara Samak Beis Beis Maseches Yevamos, which tells us, Rabbi Akiva says, Lamad Torah b'yalduso and yilmo Torah b'zaknusa. You shall learn Torah when you're young, you shall learn Torah when you're old. And hayilo tamid b'yalduso, Rabbi Akiva had tamid when he was young, and hayilo tamid b'zaknusa. Shene emar, as it says, you should go ahead and learn Torah in the morning and in the evening, in the twilight of your lives. And we know the story. The Gemara tells us that hayilo shneim esrei elef Zugim Tamidim. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Tamidim, and they spanned all of Eretz, all the whole land. They all died in one era. Why? because they weren't respectful of each other. And with the demise of these 24,000 students, the world was desolate. Ad Sheba Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbi Hosein Shebedarim, until Rabbi Akiva had to restart from scratch. From scratch. Everything he had built, 24,000 Talmidim, gone. And now we had to start again. And he starts with five young Talmidim. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Everything he had built, imagine, 24,000 Talmidim wiped out in a short period of time, and now he has to start from scratch and rebuild. And he builds with five students, Rabbi Hosseinu Shebadarim. And the Gemara tells us that these five students rebuilt all of Torah. Haim ha'amidu Torah oso shah, and Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, the Sifri, the Tosefta, all came from these five Talmidim. So who is this Rabbi Akiva? Where did he get this strength? Where did he get this perseverance? His midos of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha zeklal gadol b'Torah. Where did it start for Rabbi Akiva? Where did it come from? Who is he all about? And we know the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis tells us Rabbi Akiva had no zichus avos. He was a simple person. He had no yichus, nothing special about him, and in a fantastically incredible, incredible, and inspiring Gemara. So the Gemara tells us, I'm going to show you two major sources. One source is an Avos to Rabbi Nassim. And you all know this, but it's really kedai to see inside. Avos to Rabbi Nassim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. And the Gemara says, who was Rabbi Akiva? What was his beginning? What were his origins? And it says, we should drink Torah. We should thirst for Torah like Rabbi Akiva thirsted for Torah. Who was he? What was his beginning? So he did not learn a whit until he was 40 years old. Zero, says the Gemara. Amru ben arboim shana haya velo shana klum. And one day, Chazal tell us, the Avos Rabbi Nassim, he was outside and he goes to a bear mayim. He goes out to get some water. And he sees a rock that has drips of water. Drip, 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 drip. And over the time when the water is dripping on this rock, over time, the rock develops a hole in it. The rock develops a cavity in it because of the slow drip of water. And Rabbi Akiva notices it. And he says, he makes for himself a kal v'chomer. Don kal v'chomer ba'atzom. Ma rach posal es akosha. Soft water can engrave into a hard rock. Divrei Torah. Shekosha kebarzal achas kama v'kama. Shechakku es libi shubasa v'dam. If soft water can penetrate a hard rock and create a crevice, so Torah, which is as challenging and as hard as Barzel, can certainly penetrate the soft heart that is my heart. And he's 40 years old. And he decides, now I'm going to start learning Torah. And the Avos to Rabbi Nassim says something amazing. He had a son. He had a small son. And he went with his son to Cheder. And in the Cheder, he went with his son, his 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old son, whatever it was. And he sat down in front of the Malamde Tinokos. And Armale Rebbe Lamdeini Torah. Teach me Torah. And he sat in Cheder, and with his little son, he started learning Aleph Beis. Kosav lo Aleph Beis v'lamde. They wrote on the board, Aleph Beis, he started learning Aleph Beis. Finished that limud. And he went next, and he started to learn more. And he sat in front of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua, and he said to them, after he learned all of Chumash and all of Nach, he said, teach me Mishnayis. And he started learning Mishnayis, and he sat with them, Halak v'yashav, and he started asking questions, and he started to learn more Mishnayis. Chazar v'shalan v'emida bidvarim, and he started getting it clear in his head. And then, at some point, it was still not so clear. It was confusing to him. It was hard for him. And finally, at some point, it clicked, it snapped, and all of a sudden, like overnight, he became something amazing, something big. And the Gemara cites a muscle. How did it happen? How does it happen? And I'm telling you, I have seen this with my own eyes countless times with Talmidim in this yeshiva. And I'm going to share with you the muscle, and then I'm going to tell you what I've seen with my own eyes. The muscle goes like this: a quarry man is sitting pounding at a mountain, trying to collapse rock after rock after rock, and he's hammering and he's pounding and he's pounding, and nothing happens. A pebble falls, another pebble falls, another pebble forms, a little here, a little there, a little there. But then you hit that point in the rock where, like this big giant boulder, you knocked it a little, a little, a little, but nothing really happened. But enough happened, enough weakened, enough fell, that now you take one last smash and boom, this giant whole thing collapses. And that, says the Gemara, is what happened to Rabbi Akiva. A little, a little, a little. He wasn't fully getting it, but a little more, and then it finally collapsed. It finally all came together. And that was Rabbi Akiva. I've seen this again, I've told you countless times. Guys in yeshiva with Gemara, they're working and they're frustrated and they don't get it and they're frustrated. They're not getting it and they're frustrated. And some guys, most guys, to be perfectly honest, with all of the frustration that sometimes Gemara and learning gives us, sometimes, all too often, guys say, "This is not for me." They give up. It's too hard. It's too frustrating. What's the point? I'm not getting anything from it. And then you have the few, the select few. Sometimes it's more than a select few, but they persevere. They push ahead. They don't see great progress, but they see enough to keep on going. And then amazing things happen. And sometimes you hit that tipping point with that last smash and say, "Whoa, it all now fell into place. Whoa, now I get it. Now I chop." I'm looking on my screen right now. It happens to be here, so I'm going to call him out. I'm looking at Yosef Cohen Melamed, who had the schus of teaching Shana Aleph in my shir. And he's in the shir, and every day he's there, he's pounding, and I know and he knows. Did he chop every shir? He didn't chop every shir. He did not chop every single shir, but I know and he knows that he kept at it, and he kept at it, and he kept at it. And this year, he finished Maseches Gittin 10 times, 12 times, I don't know how many times. He was Messiah Maseches Gittin, and he knows it cold. Because that is the Midah. He's not yet Rabbi Akiva. I'm not going to give him that accolade. But it's the Midah of perseverance, not always seeing the progress, not always seeing it, but then at some point, boom, and it falls into place, and all of a sudden, a Talmid Chacham starts to be born. This is who Rabbi Akiva was. But again, his origins were so modest. A stunning Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, Samach Beis, Amud Beis, you know this Gemara. But I, nevertheless, even if you know the Gemara, it's worthy of teaching you again and again and again. The Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva was a roeh, was a shepherd, a lowly shepherd in Am Haaretz. And he worked for a fellow named Kalba Sabua, who was really, really wealthy. And the daughter of Kalba Savua, her name was Rachel, saw something in this young Rabbi Akiva, something tsanua, something modest about him. And she said to him, "If I marry you, will you go and study in yeshiva?" And she says, he said, "In, I will study in yeshiva." Ikta shalei bitsina, they had a secret wedding. They eloped. And somehow, her father got wind of the fact that his daughter, the wealthy Kalba Savua's daughter, Rachel, marries Rabbi Akiva, the Amoretz, the shepherd boy who knows nothing. And Kalba Savua cuts them off. He's the wealthiest man Yerushalayim, cuts them off, says, "You're getting nothing from me." And they're on their own. And all she wanted was someone, Sanua, who was committed to learning. And Azal the Yosef, and he goes to yeshiva for 12 years. Treis Reishnin. He goes to yeshiva. And he's about to come back from yeshiva, and is already now, at this point, a Talmud Chacham, with Talmidim, and the Gemara tells us here in Ksubis, 12,000 Talmidim. 12,000 Talmidim. Half of the number that died by this time, Lag BaOmer time. 12,000. He's coming back with these 12,000 Talmidim. And as he's coming back home, Shamalau hu saba de ka'amar, he sees an old man who's talking to his wife. And he says to his wife, Kama komedarbis almonus chayim. How long are you going to be an almona while he's alive? You're an almona, you're not with your husband. He's been away for 12 years. How can you live like a widow when he's alive? And Amra lay, and she says to this old man, Ila didit sayis yosef treisni shnei achrini, Amr birshus ka'avidna. If my husband wanted to in another 12 years, I would go ahead and let him, no problem. And Rabbi Akiva heard this, and he went back to the yeshiva for another 12 years. And this is a famous, famous Shana Bet Shmuz, which I'm not going to give now. But everyone likes to give this Shana Bet Shmuz. And what's the Shana Bet Shmuz? Is that he didn't come home. He was on his way home and he didn't go home. Because 12 years plus 12 years does not equal 24 straight years. 12, interruption 12, does not equal 24. A year in Israel, college, then I'll go learn another year after college? No, it's not the same. There's something to a consecutive set of learning. Rabbi Akiva chose not to go home, lived another 12 years. And the Gemara says, then finally he came back. And this time he came back with those 24,000 Talmidim. And his wife understood he's coming back. Shama debisu havakonaf kilapei. She comes out to greet him. And he's now the Gadol Ador with 24,000 Talmidim. There's a parade and there's a happening coming. It's the biggest Gadol is coming back. And here is this woman. She's poor. Her father cut her off. And her husband's been away learning for 24 years. And he comes in. And the Talmidim want to shoo her away. She comes reaching for him. Grabbing on his leg, shoo her away. And Amaluhu, and the Rabbi Akiva says, Shavkua, leave her, let her come forward. Because listen to these powerful words, Rabbi Akiva. Sheli v'shelachem shelohi. Everything that I am, and everything that you are, my Talmidim, anything you've gotten, is because of her. Is because of her Mesiris Nefesh, is because she enabled everything that was accomplished here. And Sheli v'shelachem shelohu. And Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva because of that perseverance, because of that hard work, because of that shvitz. And the Gemara goes on to say that there was a great man who called Rabbi Akiva. He didn't recognize him, but it was his father-in-law. Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law, Kabbalah Savor, comes and he wants to be Mater Neder because he took a Neder that he's going to cut them off. And now he wants to matir neder. And Rabbi Akiva says, if you knew your son-in-law would know one halacha, would you have made that neder? Because he was an Amma Aretz, he knew nothing. Would you have made the neder? And he says, no, I wouldn't have. So he says, okay, we'll show the neder, and I am your son-in-law. I am Rabbi Akiva. And of course, Kabbalah Savor then gives him his money, and now he has money, and he has everything, and he has 24,000 Talmidim. This is who Rabbi Akiva was. But again, amazing, amazing perseverance. He has nothing. He comes from nothing and he builds himself. But then everything is taken away. These 24,000 Talmidim perish. And any normal human being, any normal person would say, my life's work, I started from scratch. My life's work has been ripped away from me. Anyone would fall into depression, would give it up, would lose it. Imagine what we lost this year, our Shana Aleph, our Shana Bet in Eretz Yisrael Yeshiva, and how tough it is for us. He lost everything, everything. And any normal person would give up, but not Rabbi Akiva. He's 80 years old, and he says, okay, I got five students. Let's strike. Let's plug. Let's push. Let's schwitz. And he starts again with five students. That's amazing. And these five students rebuild all of Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything we have in Torah Shebaal Peh is from these five students. Everything. Tosefta, Mishnayos, Sifra, Sifri, everything is from these five. Wow. Wow. Rabbi Akiva is nothing short of incredible. What gave him the strength? What gave him the ability? And I think it's two more Gemaras that perhaps flesh out the rest of the Rabbi Akiva story. Two of the Gemaras are found in Maseches Brachos. Again, one we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. But another aspect of Rabbi Akiva was he always saw the good. Koma de'ovid rachmana letav ovid, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Samach Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us a stunning Gemara. Again, we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva, everything was for the good. Gamzu letova, koma de'ovid rachmana letav ovid. The name God equals good. Good God is the same exact thing. Everything he does is good. And Rabbi Akiva recognized that more than anyone else, probably who ever lived. And the famous story, Rabbi Akiva was traveling and he's looking for an inn. And the one inn, the one place of lodging, has no rooms. They won't let him in. And he's left to sleep outside in the forest with his donkey, with his chicken, and with one candle. And the wind blows out the candle. And a fox comes and eats the chicken, and a lion comes and eats the donkey. He's got nothing left. Zero. And his response every step of the way is Kol ma de'ovid rachmana letav ovid. Everything is for the best. Hashem has my back. There's a purpose. There's a reason. This is happening. I don't understand it, but there must be a reason. And of course, the bandits come, the thieves come, the robbers come, and they loot the hotel. They murder everyone in the hotel. And if that chicken was alive, it would have cackled and would have disclosed his location. The donkey would have brayed, and the light would have revealed where he was at. And because those were gone, Rabbi Akiva survives and moves on. And he understands everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Kol ma'aseh osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hakol le'tova. And then the end of Rabbi Akiva's life, which is the tragic end. It's so amazing. Rabbi Akiva dies the most tragic of deaths. He dies at the hands of the Roman persecutors who take metal combs and rip it across his body. And Rabbi Akiva, somehow, in that horrific death, says, "Now I can fulfill the mitzvah of Ve'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha bechol nafshecha." With my entire soul, with my entire life, I can go ahead and say, Avas Hashem Shema Yisrael, with that sense of passion. And where did it come from? Where did this emunah come from? It came from an understanding, a deep and profound understanding, Ki heim chayenu ve'orech yameinu, that we have to be linked in a powerful and pure way to Toras Hashem, because Toras Hashem is our lifeline. It is how we survive coronavirus. It's how we sit in our houses all day but still feel connected despite all of our challenges. And the Gemara tells us, Pam achas gozra malchus harosha, shelo yasku yisrael batorah. No learning Torah. Came the decree from the Romans, and the Gemara says, Ba Papas ben Yehuda, Matzav Yakiva, Shemakal Kilos, Rab Mosav HaTorah, Rabbi Akiva, despite the decree, gathers students together to learn Torah with him. And Papas says, are you not worried that the Romans are going to kill you? And Rabbi Akiva gives the famous mashal. Lama Davar Dome, Shuol Shemahalech HaGabi HaNohar, there's a fox that's walking on the river bank. And he sees a group of fish, that are dancing from place to place. Why are these fish running? Asks the fox. and the fish are dancing and running because of the nets of the fishermen. So the fox says, the wily fox, come, you can escape with me. Come out of the water. Come with me. I'll protect you from the fishermen. And say the fish, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Why in the world would we do that? At least here in the water, this is our habitat. This is our life. We live in water. We cannot survive out of water. So true. We have dangers here. We have stresses here. We have these fishermen going after us. But to leave our lifeline, that's immediate death. We cannot survive that. To go out of the water, to join you, the fox, that's never going to work. That's for sure not going to be our success. So despite the dangers, we stay in the water. And Rabbi Akiva says that's his nimshal. Is that true? Absolutely true. The Romans might kill me. But the Romans are the fox. And I need my lifeline. My lifeline, we are fish out of water. If we don't have that connectivity to Torah, that's what Rabbi Akiva, who only started learning at the age of 40, that's what he understood. And it's that incredible midah that, of course, and the last Gemara I want to share with you is the famous Gemara that you all know because you've been to Siyumin in Maseches Makos, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos, the last Gemara of Maseches Makos, where Rabbi Akiva, he saw everything. He saw it all, and one of the things he saw was the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He saw the destroyed Beis HaMikdash. And he sees Shualim. He sees foxes running through the Har HaBayis, the Kodesh Kadoshim, and his colleagues are sitting there crying. Now look what happened. Look how defeated we are, how impoverished we are, how much we've lost. And Rabbi Akiva sits there with optimism, laughing, smiling, positive, saying, yeah, we've lost. But if that nevuah of Churban came true, then the nevuah of Mashiach and rebuilding and Bayis Shlishi will also come true. And the other Chachamim say, Nichamtani Akiva, Nichamtani, you have comforted us. Rabbi Akiva is such an amazing personality. A person who represents perseverance, overcoming challenges, breaking through, working hard, that drip, 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 penetrating into that rock, that quarry worker, and finally breaking through. But it didn't mean, even after he broke through, it didn't mean everything was going to be 100% smooth. He had his setback, 24,000 Talmidim, but still pushing forward, plowing forward, going weiter despite the challenges. Seeing that the ups and downs, the vicissitudes of life, somehow Hashem has a plan and it will work out, as it did Rabbi Akiva. And despite the challenges of even the end of his life, that connectivity to Torah Hashem was his lifeline and got him through. And yes, he died, Rachmana Litzlan, a tragic death by his Roman persecutors. But perhaps the ultimate lesson is, 2,000 years later, we're still learning Rabbi Akiva's Torah. And we're still inspired by Rabbi Akiva. And his Talmud Mufak Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is going to inspire us on Lag BaOmer. And is the Torah So Menoso and inspires, allows us to continue to push through and to grow and to accomplish incredible. My Sicha ends in the same way it begins, with frustration. That things go up and things go down. Things, we're connected, we're not connected. We have good klita reception, we have bad reception. But the one thing I feel silly as I speak about the godless Rabbi Akiva, and to get frustrated by a loss of reception, a gain of reception, silliness, narishkeit. The message is that yes, none of us want to be cooped up in our rooms. This is not how we want to go into Lag BaOmer. This is not how we want to go into a Yom Yerushalayim, Mirtzah Hashem, in 2 weeks. This is definitely not how we want to go into a Chag HaShavuos. But I can tell you, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you the Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan, has a mission for us, has a vision. And we persevere, we push, we learn the lessons from our Gedolei Yisrael, from our forebears, from the Rabbi Akivas. We derive those lessons, we inculcate them into our lives. And Bez Hashem, we keep steiging, we keep accomplishing, we keep doing amazing, amazing things together. Have a fantastic Shabbos Kodesh.